The FBI doesn't investigate in these instances. Civil suits and jaywalking tickets and IRS CID doesn't work the equivalent of dime bag busts and small liens, etc., when it comes to this. But the IRS keeps fumbling around, and now they've been fucking around so much and bullshitting in court and likely perjuring themselves. Now the case is sealed. People say, Payne, what, you don't know what's going on with the case? Mr. Doyle tells you the case is sealed. Even the docket is sealed.
Michael, okay. Michael?
Yes, sir.
Whitey, you there?
I'm here.
Yo, John, hey, what's up?
Okay. Hey, Mike.
How you guys doing?
Very good, very good.
Voice sounds okay. Good. You sound like a million bucks. Voice is
yeah,
good.
Well, probably about 5937, you know? Not quite a million, but getting there, you know?
Well, hey, man, I'm just... I'm not in your league. You guys are out of my league. So it's always a pleasure to talk to you guys and catch up with you. See what's been going on since the last time we talked and how long you think we're all going to survive as a society.
Yeah. You know, Michael, yeah. I was thinking about what we want to do here. And I think, you know, assuming that there are going to be some people who are like, who the hell are these guys? You know, many people are like, okay, good that these guys are back on, but there'll be some people like, who are these? So it's probably prudent, I would think, that maybe we just give the Reader's Digest version on the background thing. That's only going to take 5 or 10 minutes. And then maybe a quick recap on the prior calls and then that show that you had in mid-2022. Where you express like, yeah, this, you know, remember the thing with the AG, and I think the title you used was Panic and, quote, Make This Go Away.
So you're going to do the intro, or are you producing the show and you want me to do it?
No. I'm just saying, just thinking ahead, you know, as to...
Yeah.
So it doesn't just go, you know.
Yeah,
that's just my idea. It's your show.
I'm breaking your chops. I'll throw some stuff. I'll throw some stuff out front and a recap and everything. So we'll bring people up to speed. And
okay, you know, good.
We'll try to pick up a few hitchhikers if they haven't been along for the ride yet. It's all good. We'll take care of it. But I appreciate heads up because. You know, I might just wake up and be like, I'm just going to put these guys out, put the conversation out. I've had it with the whole thing and, you know, with no intro. So I'll definitely do that because that makes a lot of sense. So
I got it.
Let's pick up where you guys are now and what's going on. And also maybe since you're a seasoned Wall Street guy and Whitey's a seasoned Renaissance man, we can figure out if there's something, if you guys have opinions on what's happening in the banking sector. But we can save that for later.
Do you want to give your version of where things stand with?
Are we doing the podcast now, or are we just talking about it and then doing it?
This is the call that Michael takes, and then he works on it, and then he puts it out whenever he puts it out.
Okay, but we're not live now. You just do the tape, and then you edit it, right?
We're not live yet, so, I mean, yeah, okay. You know, in case you guys have regrets and you call back and say, take that part out because X, Y, and Z.
All right, we weren't supposed
to say that. No, I wouldn't put you guys on live. I wouldn't do live myself with my language.
Right.
I'd be off the air in about a week.
So, let's put it this way, Michael. The reason why we like coming on with you is because of the nature of your audience. I mean, you've got a sharp audience with people. You know, people across, you know, a wide spectrum, right?
It's good. We really do. We move at a really fast pace, and they're up on schemes and fraud and scams and criminality and embezzlement and just a little bit of everything regular.
So they get it.
Yeah, there's no, like, you don't have to handhold. We're just off to the races. They do get it. They're fantastic.
Yeah, again, this is our third interview. And just so happens to be that they're all with you.
There's something going on there. We'll be investigated for pay to play before it's all over. I'm pretty sure.
No doubt. I'd be disappointed if we weren't, you know?
There's something going on. I'm sure they're convinced of it. The last time I checked the docket at tax court, and they cut me off down there. Like, I used to have a guy down there, and I call him, and I say, yo, what can you send me this, that, and the other thing? And then the call, I get a call back a day or two later. Suddenly, I don't get too many callbacks.
That's awesome.
So I'm thinking you guys are making some headway if they're clamping down and not really. I mean, I guess if I really beat the bushes, I could get them to give me what I want. But the whole thing is sealed anyhow, so they're dealing from a secret deck to begin with. So it's a little frustrating, but it probably means you're making some headway.
Well, I think what's happening, Mike, is the relevance of what's been put forward in the docket is coming to light. And as more of what our case has been about, it's been a mystery, but you know, when you put these things together, there's an initial, like, what is this all about? Like, how does this relate to that? And that happens because people are not working the cases. They're listening, they're reading about it. And people love sound bites, but we don't. We put evidence together. So the idea is, as more of the case and all that's in it, that field, comes to life, the relevance of what we presented years ago now is being seen by those in appropriate venues. And so we have been waiting on a ruling by the judge who would order the respondents, i.e. the IRS, to file a dispositive motion, right? A motion to dismiss or a summary judgment motion, something that would be dispositive to our case that would result in them trying to shut it down. And so upon that order, the defendants, in fact, did file a motion to dismiss of our case. And that, of course, is subsequent to a much previous dispositive motion they filed, which was a motion for summary judgment, in which the judge ruled in our favor. And that's why the case is continued. But after a bevy of evidence that we continue to collect and submit to the court, the judge, Larry, what was the date? October what? 14 or 15?
Yeah, October 14 is when they filed that dispositive motion. That's actually the last item on the docket.
Right, the motion to dismiss. Bearing in mind,
well, that's a jurisdiction, right?
Right. So it's a civil matter. these types of motions don't generally take all that long. Maybe 30 to 45 days, 60 days kind of max. We are now closer to April than we are October and of 2023 than October of 2022.
Right.
So this has been a beleaguered wait for a ruling. Our judge, David Gustafson, is a very, very astute man. He's a very strategic man, and he's not a whimsical man. And so with great thought and strategy, he's clearly discerning the relevance of the evidence as it pertains to this motion to dismiss. And I think it's fair to say to you and to the audience, that evidence is blossoming in front of everybody's eyes on a daily basis.
Okay, so let's get into that. You're blossoming because of current events with many different facets of the Clinton Foundation and pharmaceutical companies. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, Michael, when we first spoke to you June of 2020. Okay, so almost 3 years ago, you know, we laid out going to be the flow chart that the Clinton Foundation, the Gates Foundation is central to this whole thing. And just, you know, for purposes of review, you know, we touched on USAID and PEPFAR, the outfits over there in Geneva, which is the Global Fund, World Health Organization, and this other carve out called UNITAID. And this was probably, to many people there in 2020, their eyes were glossing over, although, you know, this was when the flu, you know, started to increase. And we touched on it and said, listen, you know what? What's going on here with that flu is they're running the same plan. And as we stated, all they're doing is they've substituted coronavirus for HIV, same people doing the same thing. And here we are 3 years later, and now COVID origins, and I mean, that's exactly what's played out. But 15 months after we shared that with your audience, so Tony Fauci, he said, yeah, we're using the HIV model. And he referenced PEPFAR and Global Fund and UNITAID and, you know, how great the people were at the Clinton Foundation. So it's like he corroborated what we had laid out. So, and it's just continued to play out, and it's continued to, so we were, well, let's put it this way, you know, we laid out this evidence to, you know, the respective agencies from middle of 2017 until middle of 2019, so, you know, we're 5 years ahead of the curve, or whatever, three, four, 5 years ahead of the curve. All those people who were supposed to be looking into this stuff, we gave them the roadmap. There you go, you know, go knock on that door. And now we, you know, just see recently a lot of focus on USAID, right? USAID funding of, you know, Eco Health Alliance, which is over there at the Wuhan lab. And it's like, well, how about that, right? So it's all kind of, it's come full circle. And as I say, the weight of our facts and documented evidence and truth, which we have laid out, you know, well over 10,000 pages, you know, thousands of pages of timelines, the weight of that documented evidence gets heavier by the day. And that's a good thing.
It's probably most important, Mike, look, we're two kind of boring guys, to be quite frank. We don't really have all that exciting lives. And I mean that seriously. You know, I mean, the bottom line is this: we're not fortune tellers.
Right.
We're evidence guys. The evidence that Larry speaks of, submitted to the court, you know, back in our original filings, August 1st, 2017, and all that's come through, right through today, March 23rd, 2023, is evidence. It's not our opinion. It's straightforward. It's not really sexy. It's just, you know, corroboration of money movements, interactions, emails, correspondence, about a FOIA request. It's a puzzle. Put it together. But most things that happen in a coordinated way, are really rational. So we're not emotional guys. We're not paparazzi. We're not media guys. We hate all this stuff. We're just kind of boring evidence guys, and the evidence tells the story. It's not the story of Larry and John. It's the story of what happened and why it's happening now. So it's all just come to life. The evidence comes to life. It's not our evidence. It's just the evidence that exists out there that we piece together. And it's our hope that Judge Gustafson continues in his critical thinking, which he will do, and finds a ruling that's appropriate for the evidence, to be quite frank. You know?
Yeah, and to that point, Michael, and for your listeners, you know, when we testified to Congress back on December 13th, 2018, which,
yeah,
again, hard to believe.
I'll play that beforehand.
Okay.
And so you guys say you were boring. I was entertained by that. That wasn't boring. That was good
stuff. Yeah, but Mike, our lives, I mean, look.
I know. You guys are hardworking guys.
Yeah, you know.
It's hard to be a rock star when you work as hard as you guys do.
Yeah, we're not that sexy, believe me. You know? But we referenced, Michael, on that day, we referenced the fact that, you know, we filed with the IRS, Whistleblower Commission, August of 2017, and subsequently shared our materials with, you know, law enforcement, DOJ, the Bureau, Postal Service, you know, a variety of U.S. attorneys' offices, you know, throughout 2018, even into, you know, early to mid part of 2019. Okay. So while our evidence, you know, encompasses largely, you know, the pharmaceutical and again, the primary claim that we made, and John detailed it with real specificity at that congressional testimony, was that the foundation was acting as an agent.
Right.
Agent of foreign governments, agent of private corporations. And it's like, knock yourself out. You're in private enterprise. Do what you want. Pay your taxes. So we lay all that out. And obviously, that's dominated the news cycle for the last 3 years, you know, given the flu. But also, you know, everything that's gone on within law enforcement, right? You know, and we had meaningful interaction. We can't get into that because that's, you know, under seal in our case. But after Judge Gustafson, you know, dismissed the IRS's motion for summary judgment in October of 2020 because he said you abused your discretion, he then remanded the case in April of 2021 back to the IRS and said, okay, fine, here, you know, I'm going to give you a second bite at the apple. Go back and, you know, well, develop the record from a criminal standpoint. Okay, that's very interesting because ours is a civil tax claim. And he's saying develop the record from a criminal standpoint. So it's like, hey now. And again, these things, the wheels of justice move slowly. But, you know, in 2022, if anybody's looking at the record, the stuff's under seal. You can see things that get filed in the number of pages. And there are, you know, upwards of, I don't know, 800 to 1,000 pages that get filed in early to mid 2022. And a large percentage of those at that remand order went back to the IRS, but that did not preclude us from supplementing that record either.
Right.
And we didn't, right?
Well, but you guys have a massive amount of evidence and you've compiled, and I think it's a good thing. Now, we've gotten wind of some of that stuff. We have good sources all over the place.
Well, that was your show that I'm looking at here, dated July 19th, 2022. Exclusive USAG Merrick Garland panics after smoking gun turns up against Clinton Foundation, quote, make this go away.
Protecting, yeah, but I mean, I'm going to ask you guys, what was the smoking gun? So I'll just ask you, and you can tell me, you can't tell me. Go ahead. What was the smoking gun he had?
Can't tell you.
Okay. We got through that portion of the show.
We'll just... Okay, well, you have to ask the question. I know.
I'm just throwing it out there because people are going to say, why didn't you ask him? Well, then I just asked you. You know,
right.
So that's the right way it goes. But you guys have put a lot of exhibits together, and they're lucky the case is sealed. Is there a day when it comes and you guys say, well, these things become public, and then the show is on? I mean, and I think it'll be one hell of a show if that happens. Is there a day you see that?
We're ready for that day.
Yeah.
We've been waiting for that day since August 1st, 2017. We live within the rules of the court. We hope that the judge's ruling on the motion to dismiss is once again favorable to the evidence, in assuming and trusting the court that the court is looking out for the people. It will be it will be a finding of such. And at that time, the people, the taxpayers, because remember, a foundation is subsidized by the taxpayers.
Right.
What do I mean by that? They get a 35 to 40% head start on everybody. They don't pay taxes on the revenues. And so revenues and expenses have to be really in accordance with their exemptions, right? And a lot of our case and our initial filings are that is just not the case. And so it's the people. It's not Larry and John. It's Larry, John, Mike, and everybody else who say, wait a minute, we're all paying taxes, and we all are, and we should. We got to support the roads and law enforcement and air traffic controllers and police and firemen and teachers. That's the trade. But, you know, you gotta do it in conformity to your exemption. And quite frankly, agencies and organizations that fall out of conformity to their exemption need to be called out for it. It's just that simple. It's just not really sexy or complicated, because the taxpayers are subsidizing that. And that, quite frankly, just isn't fair. And, you know, it's not like people are using their own money here. They're using the taxpayers' money to subsidize you, right? It's a subsidy from the people. In other words, the people don't get the money into the tax coffers that would traditionally be paid by a S corporation or an LLC or what have you. So the responsibilities that go along with the exemption are critically important from the standpoint of, you know, recognizing 350 million people are subsidizing that in some way. And this whole sector, this nonprofit 501c3, it's really a focus of Larry and I, not just for the Clinton Foundation, but others. And it needs to be more seriously addressed on a congressional level. Congress makes the laws. IRS is supposed to enforce those laws by giving exemptions and what have you. And it clearly hasn't happened. In so many instances, it just hasn't happened. And if you want to look at, you know, the banking sector, you want to look at the financial sector and the collapses that we see, you know, everybody wants to go and blame Donald Trump or something. I mean, people have to do the right thing. If you're handing out loans that aren't collateralized, aren't underwritten properly, and you want to do all this stuff to be a nice guy, I mean, you know, how do people pay back loans if they don't have money? But you gave them the money anyway. People want to know why the asset base collapses in banks. That's why. Not junk bonds. They're not underwritten properly. So responsibility is critical whenever you're using somebody else's money. And the money that flows through these tax-exempt organizations and subsidized by the taxpayers is other people's money. In that case, it's about addressing the misuse of other people's money within the confines of the exemption. It's really that simple. But, and Michael, yeah. as we looked at the foundation and we looked at the extensive nature of their partnership, okay, with pharmaceutical companies, with private universities, okay, with other 501c3 entities, other private foundations, these non-governmental organizations, these foreign entities. I mean, we go very, very deep down every one of those paths, okay? And we follow the money very deep. And in the process, they're like, okay, we come up with, well, that's a problem, right? That's a problem. And we use the FOIA extensively. The Clinton Foundation whistleblower submission that we made is one of, you know, well, let's just put it this way. We have a number of other outstanding claims, the total size of which is multiples of the reported revenue of the Clinton Foundation claim. Now, granted, we're, you know, way down the road in the tax court,
and this. But this, again, as John has said before, this is what we do. These are, you know, to a large extent, public funds that go into this, whether it's, you know, USAID, U.S. taxpayer funds that go over to Geneva, to World Health Organization, to the Global Fund. You know, who's protecting the taxpayers on both ends? You know, both funds that go in and funds that don't come out. And you know, Bill Gates, he's contributed $500 million to this thing. Honestly, that's one of our claims, is that private foundations themselves should have to pay tax on their donations to this foundation. So, again, we go very deep. We corroborate wherever and however we can. This needs to, get exposed, because to me, this is the big money grab right here in the tax-exempt group of the IRS, the lack of oversight, proper oversight. This is, in my opinion, the epicenter of the swamp.
I've seen so many of these. I've seen so many of these businesses crop up in the last, since you and I started. We all started talking, the three of us. There's so many of these new charities and new tax exempt where it's mind boggling. Everybody's in on it now, and a lot of the ones I see aren't very forthright, so to speak.
You kind of read my mind, because of all the years with the Drug Enforcement Administration, all the money laundering cases, financial frauds, and money laundering. I often would say to myself, who's using all these drugs? Like, I don't even know anybody who uses drugs. Like, where is all this money coming from? And you know, to the contrary, if you don't know someone with a nonprofit, you got to have your head in the sand.
Right.
To your point. I mean, everything's a nonprofit. Literally everything. Well, and the members of Congress all have nonprofits. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. Like, who doesn't have a nonprofit? And it's crazy, because in the end, the infrastructure, all that we have here, right? There's got to be a foundation to it, and that foundation has a tax base to it. And instead, the foundation we're talking about right now, there is no tax base to it. It's tax exempt. So it's crazy, the development of it.
Michael, I think your audience would probably find it interesting, and perhaps many are questioning, like, how the hell did these guys, you know, undertake this effort in the first place, right? And let me share that it was not by accident. It wasn't like, I mean, as we assessed the regulatory system at large, financial regulators, other regulators, and made the assessment that, you know what, there are meaningful degrees of compromise within those regulators. So, like, you know, we could on one hand say, well, that sucks, right? I mean, but we look at it as like, okay, increased risk to taxpayers on one hand. What's the other side of that coin? Opportunity, right? Opportunity. So instead of, you know, getting pissed off because the regulators aren't doing their job, John and I made the assessment in, you know, I would say it was mid-2015. Okay, you know what? This presents opportunity. We know how to follow the money and go through, you know, reports and relationships and all that sort of stuff. So we said, okay, let's find the right opportunity. And as we looked and just, you know, no rush, this name popped up. We did our homework and said, you know what, let's go. And that was about a year prior to the 2016 presidential election. With the, you know, basically the bet we were making was, okay, you know what? What do we think? Do we think that the people inside the IRS would do the job to the extent that we would do it? And we made the assessment that no, they wouldn't. And here we are, you know, not quite 8 years later, and 3.5 years into the tax court.
And to be fair, nobody likes paying taxes. You have to do it. It's part of what the deal is. And to be fair, if I'm working at the IRS, have a lot of friends, good guys and ladies who work there. The proliferation of these nonprofits and all the responsibilities that go with them. I mean, if you're in the IRS, you got to be scratching your head going, like, okay, wait a minute. Who is going to investigate all these? Tax returns, these problems, those problems, SARS, everything that goes on.